Hey there, guys and gals, all you hip cats, cool kittens, you diesel-powered disciples of cool. Welcome back to another episode of the Diesel Punk Podcast. I am your host, the artist also known as the comic book loving, time-traveling prophet of pop culture, the voice of Diesel Punk, John Pica. You can also call me Johnny. And along with me are my co-host, Dark Soul, the Pirate King, although not looking too piratey these days, but I'd love... Kids, man.
Hey, man.
Kids?
Family.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And over here is Corey.
What's up, guys?
And I gotta tell you, I'm super digging the bow tie. He's got a comic book bow tie on, and you got it at Spirit Halloween. Should we get one?
Yeah.
I'm good. You know what? I'm gonna go there and grab one. I love it. We're coming to you live on Facebook. If you're watching on Facebook, give us a thumbs up. Post a heart. If you're watching us on YouTube, make sure you click subscribe and post a comment, and we'll enter you in our monthly giveaway. And don't know what we're going to give away this month, but it'll be cool swag.
We're giving away Corey.
Someone wants me.
Hey, Corey can come and fix your car.
Nah.
No, not really?
Not mechanically.
Oh.
Paint body.
Aesthetically.
Aesthetically. I can make it pretty.
Well, he can pimp it out. How about that?
Yeah, there we go. I
can. All right.
Yeah.
Yeah, so...
I think he just called me a pimp.
Well, you know.
You know, the shoe fits.
I said I was an entertainment whore last week.
That's
so,
right.
Well...
And
you know what role I like best.
The one that pays
me. The one that pays me.
Yeah, yeah. So we've got some fun topics on the show this week. And before we dive into them, I want to acknowledge one of our sponsors, Magic Subscription Box. They deliver a magic shop to your mailbox every month for about $30. And if you pop it open, it's a little tiny box, but it's
full Pat.
Of
my mother-in-law's on
magic.
Here.
Pat is on here.
Ah!
So, yeah, about $50 or $60 worth of magic in here. 5 or 6 different tricks. Perfect for beginner magicians. Around $30 a month delivered right to your mailbox. This one came just today. And sometime later on this week, I'll do a full review of this box. But use my promo code BDCMagic and take 50% off your first month. It's a pretty amazing deal. All right, so... let's talk Star Wars.
Star Wars.
So Star Wars has been in the news a lot. Obviously, there's a new movie coming out in December. And Corey was around during the days early on when we started the podcast, when I would post notes in different forums, basically promoting Star Wars as what I believe good diesel punk.
Yeah.
A lot of people back in the day didn't really respond well, but...
did not like that idea.
But the more I promoted the idea and the more that I justified it, the more people have come around.
Oh, yeah.
And on this week I posted some pictures on the Diesel Punk's Facebook page.
Some beautiful pictures.
Yeah, of more Star Wars vehicles that were kind of more World War II style, mm-hmm. but based on these designs.
Yeah.
And just on these designs, especially Anakin's Starfighter. I mean, what did you say about this?
B-52.
Yeah.
Look at this. It looks just like a B-52 gun pod.
Yeah.
B-29.
Whichever.
Yeah, B-52 is real modern.
Okay, well, Love Shack.
There you go.
Well, and the X-Wing definitely has a lot of the inspiration and style. I almost consider the X-Wing almost like... what is it? P-51 Mustang mashed up with a tank.
Yeah. Definitely.
Yeah, and you know,
with a panic button.
With a panic button.
Yeah. Yeah. But you know, you think about it, when we talk about the tenets of diesel punk, it's
drop and break the twist.
You know, the original films, well, the current films, mm-hmm. all of the saga, are inspired by the pulp serials and World War II, you know, World War II inspired designs.
What is an AT-AT but a walking tank?
It is pretty a walking much. Tank. So you've got the styles and the aesthetics of the era, And you've got the sci-fi and fantasy. And what is more punk than a group of scruffy rebels fighting against the Nazis? Yeah. Exactly. And you really see that Nazi illusion in...
the Empire's... Well, their uniforms.
Well, yeah.
With the Death Troopers.
Well, especially in the new prequels
Rogue
or sequels.
One. Rogue One with the Death Troopers.
Yeah. In Rogue One, well, in Rogue One, you really get the sense of that World War II combat unit kind of feeling.
Yeah.
But in The Force Awakens, there's a scene that is almost shot for shot a speech that Hitler gave.
Oh, the Nuremberg?
Yeah.
Oh, when he's on the
podium with the flags and all the troops. Yeah. And it was chilling to me.
Yeah, because he's very emotional during that speech, and just like Hitler used to get.
Yeah.
Very emotional.
Yeah, General Hux and you know, talking about, you know, the purity of the First Order, and it was very reminiscent. And, you know, George Lucas has said over and over that he was inspired by World War II and the Korean War.
Yep.
The films of Kurosawa, Seven Samurai, and the pulp serials of, you know, of the 30s and 40s. You know, you would go to the movies and see that 5-minute short.
Well, why don't
we
tell people that might not know what the Seven Samurais became for the people of the 50s through the, say, 70s? It was a little program called Magnificent Seven?
Yeah, yeah. Well, Kurosawa inspired a lot of filmmakers and a lot of storytelling. Because he embraced that idea of the hero's journey as a group.
Yeah.
And that's what we really see in Star Wars and the
Mandalorian. The ensemble.
Yeah. Yeah. So
the D&D ensemble.
Yeah. The party. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so you guys kind of are in agreement with me.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, as soon as I took a close look at this sitting on your desk, it's like there's no denying it.
Yeah.
You can see it.
Well, like, yeah, and the X-Wing definitely got that P-51 inspired look.
Yeah.
Mixed with a heavier, beefier tank.
Yeah.
Of the sky, yeah.
Well, and, you know, early on, you know, I would use even simpler justifications. In A New Hope, you see the X-Wings being fueled with something in a hose. Mm-hmm. And George Lucas even said, well, it's petroleum. It's oil.
Yeah.
And, you know, we see R2-D2 and Revenge of the Sith. He, you know, shoots oil all over the floor and lights it up. And what else would those AT-AT walking tanks operate on other than oil-based hydraulics? So if you're going the route of, you know, diesel punk is fuel-based, which is kind of an antiquated way to look at it these days, but...
Yeah, me and my 15-year-old son argued about that. He says Star Wars is not diesel punk in any way. They didn't use any kind of diesel fuel in it. I was like, son, just because it's diesel punk does not mean it's always diesel fuel.
Right.
And he argued and argued and argued, but I think I'm swaying him, but I don't know. He's 15, so he knows everything.
Well, so, you know, there are still people out there who kind of equate that because, you know... The way it was named was, you know, kind of parallel to steampunk because steampunk was based off steam-powered machinery. And early days of diesel punk, you know, the guy who created the term, Anders Blix, or, you know, whether you believe it was Pollock, I forget his first name, but, you know, they used it as, you know, kind of a parallel to steampunk because... The fuel of the era of the, you know, teens through the 50s was diesel fuel, petroleum fuel. But over the years, over the last 8 years, it's become less about that fuel and more about style and aesthetic and maintaining that style and aesthetic. So you can have, you know, a nuclear-powered spacecraft, but... Like in Firefly, but if style and the look of the technology freezes, that's what makes it diesel punk.
Yeah. I do have to say something. I watched the first 5 episodes of Miss Fisher last night.
Yes.
And I still withhold that it is Diesel period, not diesel pump.
That's all right. You can be wrong.
Yeah, I finally
did. Or I can be right.
I did finally watch the second episode of that.
I watched the first five episodes last night.
I'm trying.
I have to say, I did not see any of the mysticism or anything. And the Mary Jane argument that you had doesn't hold water because there was a lot of Mary Janes during that period.
All right. Well, I can dig that. We can... We'll see when the movie comes out. Because the movie seems to have, at least in the trailer, is suggesting some mysticism and some fantasy. So we'll see. It'll be interesting to look at. So that's my thoughts on Star Wars as diesel punk. You guys got anything to add?
No, I agree.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's... I'd say it leans heavily towards the sci-fi version of diesel punk. But yeah, it's definitely diesel punk genre.
It's not a property. It's the, you know, someone said, what is diesel punk? I wouldn't hand them a Star Wars movie.
No.
I would hand them The Rocketeer or Sky Captain or Captain America First Avenger or Dark City. One of those first. And but the more you get into the genre, the more you see... Mm-hmm. those elements and can appreciate it. And I just thought it was interesting. I talk about it a lot, but hadn't talked about it with our new co-hosts. And I thought it would be fun to bring up. You know, it's a recurring topic, and we'll always talk about it. See, what does Daniel say? What did Daniel type in there?
He said diesel starts from gasoline time to nuclear, and then the nuclear is called atomic punk or nuclear.
So... Daniel, I'm going to disagree with you. I'm going to say that atom punk is not its own genre. I maintain that atom punk, which is the period from 1945 to 1957, is actually part of diesel punk. It's one of the bookends. You've got atomic punk or atom punk on this end, and on the early end, the teens through the mid-30s, you've got the deco punk.
Yeah.
And they're the two bookends. And my justification for that is, you know, a lot of people think, well, the diesel era ended with the bombing of Hiroshima and Nagasaki, and that's when we entered the nuclear age and the atomic age. And while I say that is partially true,
that's how I used to be, except I kind of went to 1950.
Yeah.
You know, it included the end of the 40s.
He's using deco punk, Daniel, more as a parallel to diesel punk because of the aesthetics.
Yeah. The diesel punk umbrella encapsulates a lot of styles. You've got the Art Deco, you've got at one end, you've got the World War II styling of the machinery, the uniforms. You've got Appalachian diesel punk. You know, if you watch Oh Brother, Where Art Thou, that's a great diesel punk movie because it's full of fantasy and allegory.
It is basically a rewriting of...
The Odyssey.
The Odyssey. Yeah.
And you've got out west, the Dust Bowl, and you've got flappers and gangsters and... You know, soldiers
the
and
show, mechs. Ever watched the show Carnival?
Oh, yes. God. I love Carnival.
I'd consider that like a Western Dust Bowl diesel punk.
Absolutely.
Love that show.
Absolutely.
Love
it. And you know what? Doggone it.
Two seasons and gone.
And they ended it on that killer cliffhanger.
Yeah.
And
hated that.
And you know the writer, he knows how it ends. He said he's finished the story, but he's never going to share it.
That's...
I don't know if
that's so wrong.
Yeah, I don't know. Carnival was
awesome. We need to find him and
awesome.
Persuade him.
What was the kid's name, the healer? Jim Hawkins? Was that right?
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah.
Hawkins. I think it was Jim.
Yeah. Great show.
Yeah.
Great show. But so Daniel, my point there is you have this huge umbrella, and the reason I extend and started, and a lot of people now accept it, the timeline going through 1957 is because 1957... was when Sputnik launched. Mm-hmm. And for the first time, our society, our culture, was no longer confined to our green blue ball called Earth. It opened up the imagination of what was possible, and it was a bigger cultural shift globally than the atomic bomb.
I agree.
And that's why I believe...
But Jules Verne had already done that, though.
Well, sure, but, yeah, but not now in real life. Real. It's real.
Now it's real.
Yeah. And we as a culture had this massive shift. And it's right there, 1957,
yeah,
where you see, you know, clothing and technology and pop culture, everything takes a hard, hard turn. And, you know, we see the sexual revolution and... You know, we see the Cold War and the age of spies and
yep.
information.
Oh, behave.
Yeah,
it's not my bag, baby.
Yeah, I was shut down Diesel Punk at 50, but then The Man in the High Castle came out. And that shift, it shifted me because it just extended even further.
Well, so...
Because they went to 60, that was in 62.
Yeah, and see, the thing about that is... here's how I look at the timeline. The 1917 to 1957 is the period of time that we draw the inspiration from.
Yes.
But it doesn't have to be set
no.
in those timelines.
Because Man in the High Castle could be 1987.
That's right.
But still have that complete diesel punk
that's
look
right.
and feel to it.
Because what happened? Style and aesthetic and society froze.
Yep.
Yeah. So... I love thinking of that about it in that term. What else do we got? Who else is?
We've had Sarah Hood join. We've had Tony Swatton. Do you know who Tony Swatton is?
I don't. Who is Tony
Swatton? Tony
Swatton
is a master bladesmith and blacksmith. He's the one that made most of the blades for Pirates of the Caribbean.
Ooh.
He's in California. A friend of mine.
Tony. I need to know you.
We have Barbara French Griffin. Her and her husband are the ones that are all at all the cons with the leatherworks and everything.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We have Chris Lewis. Sounds familiar, but I can't remember who the hell you are, Chris.
Well, welcome everybody who is watching us live, either on our page or through through Dark Souls.
Hey, Trent. What's up?
Watch party.
Mine's not showing who's sharing for some reason.
Well, because he's watching through his watch party
his
profile. You're watching through our page.
Gotcha.
So
I'm behind on technology.
We're a little bit... And I'm just watching on the feed. So make sure that we're not out of camera and making sure that the recording
We've
is
got
good.
Nine or eight so far yeah. watching...
I see that.
Now, did you see that last week's episode, we've had over 600 views.
Yeah.
Which is huge. Huge. You know, we have about 10,000 subscribers on the audio feed through iTunes and Stitcher, but to have that many viewers on the video was awesome. Awesome. So, we have something special this week.
I'll go back.
This is going to be a lot of fun. So, one of the things I started doing last year was Diesel Punk Game Night, and talking about games that appeal aesthetically to Diesel Punks. And for those of you listening on iTunes and Stitcher, you won't have the benefit of seeing this, but you can hear how we try to learn how to play Tower of Madness. And Tower of Madness is a Cthulhu-based adventure, and it's a lot of fun. And, you know, it is set visually, you know, a lot of people want to claim Cthulhu lore as steampunk, but H.P. Lovecraft did all of his writing in the 20th century, and all of his stuff was set in the, you know, in the 20s, 30s, and 40s. But Tower of Madness is this really cool game that is like reverse Kerplunk, and I'm going to pull the tower center table. So let's move the mic just a little bit. So here, we'll bring it over there so that the camera can see the tower. So can everyone see that? There we go. There we go.
Set it up on the, that box?
No, I think we're okay. I'll bring this down just a little bit. There, you can see that really well now. So, here's basically the idea. These tentacles are sticks, and they're in the tower, and you got a bag of marbles. Woohoo! Any game with marbles.
I didn't lose my marbles.
So, Dark Soul set up the tentacles, and the marbles go in. Now, for those of you who are maybe my age or around, you might remember a game called Kerplunk.
Kerplunk.
Did you ever play Kerplunk?
Love Kerplunk.
Yeah. Yeah, and in Kerplunk...
Did it involve alcohol?
No.
It could. That'd be interesting.
In Kerplunk, you had a cylinder, a tube, with basically pickup sticks that went through it, marbles dumped in, and on your turn, you pull the stick, and the person who made all the marbles fall lost, basically. So this game is the reverse. Yes, we've got the sticks going through the tower, the marbles, but the object of the game is actually to get the right marbles. And you have a set of five die, and each person gets a character card. Now, I just pulled out a couple to show you guys. So we got Johnny Harris, Private Eye, and Abigail Hunt, a counselor.
I'm glad you enunciated.
Okay, I'm lost, but that's okay. And you'll see here, I'll pass these to you. Abigail, she has an emblem at the bottom, two dice, and then Johnny has the same emblems, but every time you roll those emblems, there are these stick branch emblems, you get magic powers. For Johnny, Johnny's discovery marbles are worth 5 points instead of 3 points at the end of the game. So you've got, each person gets these cards to keep track of their marbles. And I forget what just the plain old thing does. I'll have to look at the rule book, but everyone has the same base power, but some characters have extra powers depending on those rolls. So you roll your dice, and depending on the dice you roll, the points you get, you either draw a spell card to play, and you can draw it and play it, or you can hold it and play it later, or you pull a tentacle. And you're going to pull tentacles until they start dropping. Ah, there we got a couple. What do we got? So we got white, which is a spell card. So for every marble, I take a spell card. And I can either play it,
and then Corey breaks it.
And then Corey breaks the whole thing.
That works!
Okay. That's okay.
I win.
The green ones are I forget. The green ones are
this is great.
Yeah. The green ones, what are the green ones? The blue ones are discoveries. They're worth 3 points each. The white ones are spell cards. You draw a spell card, and the red ones are the madness marbles. And for each madness marble you get one step closer to insane. And when you get four, you are insane, which means when you're insane, you use the insane side of the spell card. There's a side for sane and a side for insane. And the sane cards have things that benefit you. The insane cards have things that could harm you. So it's kind of like the difference between community chest and chance. And what do the green marbles mean? Let's refresh.
Hey, Eli.
Oh, doom.
Hey, Nancy and Larry.
Doom. So when all
Peggy. When all time no see, Peggy.
When all four green marbles land, the game is over. Cthulhu has risen, and the game is over. So, this was a really...
Give me four red.
Well, you can dig them out in a minute. But this was a really fun game to play. But we had to create some house rules. With a lot of games, the rules were a little bit...
Flexible?
Well, prohibitive to gameplay, in my opinion. You know, I complain a lot that game makers always want to make things too complicated. I'm the old school, you know, Monopoly, roll and go kind of thing.
Yeah.
And so we simplified a lot of the rules. And the winner, by the way, of each round wins the location where you're playing. And once all of the locations are won, or once Cthulhu rises with the Doom Marbles, the game is over. And then you add up your points. You get points for each location you win. You get points for each one of the marbles you got. And you get points based on the alterations with the, you know, the
when
special
powers.
When do
you get calamari?
That's afterwards when you go to TGI Fridays.
Oh, okay.
And order it.
Cthulhu calamari.
That, you know what? Someone needs to do that.
That would be awesome.
That would be a great restaurant. Cthulhu's. A great little bar. And
calamari.
Do a whole diesel punk restaurant. Make it like a speakeasy where you gotta knock on a door to get in. And then you got Cthulhu's calamari in the back. And
hey, yeah. Dean, what's up? How you been?
Let's see. Eli Cash, what does he say? My favorite's gotta be The Mummy and The Mummy Returns. Oh, he's talking about diesel punk movies.
Yes.
Yeah, and yeah, those are definitely diesel punk classic
great
movies.
Ones.
Yeah. Great, great diesel punk movies. So, all right, before we get to our last topic, I am going to... I highly recommend Tower of Madness, by the way.
Don't let me touch it.
You guys will love it. You guys will love it. So, speaking of Cthulhu, we've got American Mythology Productions producing Zorro versus... The Old Gods, The Rise of the Old Gods. It's Zorro versus Cthulhu. And it's not really diesel punk because it's not got the right aesthetics because of the timeline. It's more of a steampunk thing, but it's really cool. It's really cool to see Zorro fighting the
Is it Antonio Banderas?
No. No. But, of course, well, never mind. I'll keep that to myself. But that's a fun one. Check that out. But I do want to share one solid diesel punk book. This came out just this week. Betty Page Unbound, issue number 4.
Mm-hmm. Betty Page as Tinkerbell.
Well, yeah, because here's the story. Betty Page, speaking of Cthulhu, is trying to stop Cthulhu and the other elder gods
There's another name for that.
Rising and destroying the earth.
It's called Hentai.
Oh, man. Man. So here's the gist of this. The idea is that Betty Page was a secret agent in the mid-50s. That her modeling gig was a cover. Kind of like how Harry Houdini was a secret agent for MI6.
Hey, Eddie. Hey, Jason. Hey, Derek. You still in Nashville? Still making props in Nashville?
He knows all these people that I don't know. It's pretty awesome. Anyway, so Betty Page, in this series, in this story arc, she's trying to track down the pieces of the star of Tunguska. You remember the Tunguska?
The blast. Siberia.
Yeah, in Siberia.
Oh, okay.
And it was caused by the star, which is a gateway for the rise of the elder gods. And she's being jumped around from reality to reality to gather these. And in this issue, she's...
Tinkerbell.
Becomes Tinkerbell. She's been Vampirella. She's been Red Sonja. She's been Who was it last week? Last month? I forget.
I remember.
Yeah,
I remember you talking about it. I can't remember what it was now.
Maybe she was... Oh, she was Deja Torres.
We know what Johnny reads in the lavatory now.
Yeah. But, hey, listen. No, this is a perfectly clean, all ages appropriate book. Unless you know the history of Betty Page, there's nothing torrid about it at all. But it's got a style and aesthetics. It's got the sci-fi and the fantasy. And, a lot of the villains that she's been fighting have been government agents, kings, queens, royalty, and whatnot.
Hey, Josh, how you and Ayla been?
Now, last thing I want to talk about, and I've got a sample to kind of illustrate this. And I didn't send you guys these notes, but it occurred to me today.
Randy!
Dark Soul is just going to do shout-outs all night.
Yeah, all night.
So I asked the question last week we were talking about the demise of steampunk events and seeing less and less of it out there. And I started getting turned on by my son to some anime. He's really into anime, and I never was, but I've been watching some of it, because it's an activity to enjoy with our kids. And I'm noticing, diesel style aesthetics have always been very prominent in anime, so have steampunk. But I've been noticing with a lot of the newer series, this fusion of the styles and this combination. And there's this comic series that I'm really hip to called Sonata that is that same kind of thing. It is this mashup of the diesel and steam aesthetics set in space. And, I asked the question on my Facebook page whether or not that might be the future of retropunk, less of a division or demarcation and more of a fusion. And so I thought I'd see what you guys thought about that.
That's probably true. I mean, everything either gets watered down or compounded. Everything at some point either gets watered down or compounded. And if it gets watered down, it usually goes away. If it gets compounded, it has a longer life.
Okay.
Okay, got that.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
What do you think, Corey? I know I'm just throwing this out to you.
No, it's
from
it's,
the blue.
I think that is kind of where we're headed. Because we are seeing so many different genres or styles of diesel punk come out, like Star Wars and diesel punk in space, and Carnival is more your Dust Bowl, and Man in the High Castle is more of your alternate history.
Yeah,
and it's all starting to come together where we're going to start having steampunk, diesel punk, sci-fi, space stuff. I think it's where we're headed because that's where everyone's interest lies. So we're going to start combining it so everyone can be a part of the genre.
Have you read any of Harry Turtledove?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Alternate history. Now, does his stuff...
Hey, Dan, what's up?
Does his stuff mostly focus around World War II alt history, or does he go all different eras?
He does Civil War and World War II are his two
main ones. World War II ones.
It's like he did the one at the Civil War where they brought machine guns, and the Confederacy got a hold of machine guns.
Yeah, like someone showed up with like AKs or Uzis or something. I can't remember which one it was.
M16s.
Yeah, it's just some kind of modern machine gun.
Now, do his stories involve time travel, or is it just literally development of technology?
Sometimes it's not. It changes. But every one of his is some kind of alternate historical.
I'm gonna have to dig into some of his stuff. I think I've got a couple of his books that I've not read. So
I think I got a couple on Audible still.
Yeah. I'll have to definitely check that out. So
because I love that whole alternative history, especially World War II, like Man in the High Castle, where Nazism just kept spreading. I'm not saying I like Nazi spreading, but
that's like
let's not go there.
What was it? SSGB.
Yeah, so that's a series on stars.
It was originally a book.
Okay.
I'll have to look that one up.
It is set in Britain after Britain has been was taken.
Okay.
Yeah.
And
I like that
one. Similar concept.
I'd like that. I'll check that out. SSGB.
And I've not seen it either because it's you have
What's
to
up, Noah?
You have to pay to see it right now, but it might be on DVD or Blu-ray somewhere. But it stars the guy who played Mr. Darcy in Pride, Prejudice, and Zombies.
Oh.
I can never remember the guy's name, but he's got that cool, gravelly voice.
Yeah.
And he's just that badass. I like that. Yeah. So, let me ask you about Man in the High Castle.
Okay.
Have you found that a difficult show to watch from this perspective? That you have to keep reminding yourself that John Smith is a Nazi and a bad guy,
yes,
and we should not be rooting for him?
Yes. Because
he fluctuates.
Yeah. There are times when you're like, this guy's a jerk, kill all Nazis, be done with it.
Yeah.
Then other times, like when he tries to save his son, no spoilers alert, sorry. You're like, I like this guy. I can hang out with this guy.
And when he gets promoted, you realize
he's a Nazi. He's an American Nazi.
That's right.
He is not German.
No.
Right.
He was actually right outside of Washington, D.C. when they bombed Washington, D.C.
Mm-hmm.
And that is when he was actually an American soldier.
That's right.
Yeah, I think he switched to survive.
Yeah.
Basically, that's all. I think he's still very American at heart, and he just switched to survive and keep his family alive. And
Well,
Melissa.
He's got a good-looking wife. I like his wife.
Yeah, you know what? She is attractive.
Yeah.
In a very domestic, motherly way.
Yeah.
But she's not... She's a lot smarter than she acts.
Yeah.
Yes.
She's tough as nails.
Well, and you know, season 4 drops November the 11th.
Yep.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so I cannot wait. That
last season, too.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is a shame, but I'm glad that they're kind of ending it now.
Yeah.
Because I'd hate to see them do, like, 8-9 seasons and it get dumb.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I'm a big fan of finite stories. You know, I want to know that there is a definite ending. And, you know, 3 or 4 seasons is always good for me.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. The one thing about Man in the High Castle that, I think the writers were just brilliant in that they created this society and this central family that is super relatable.
Yeah.
This is going to sound horrible. This is going to get me in trouble with some
people
out there.
Leave it to people with a swastika.
Well, yeah, but
basically,
you're watching the show and you're seeing this in general on the surface, very happy, very quaint, very productive society.
Daniel, Man in the High Castle is on Amazon Prime.
Yeah, but you're seeing this very attractive society, and you have to constantly remind yourself, well, the reason it's like that is because these people are awful, horrible people, and they are ruthless, and it's only through an iron fist that they keep it that way. I actually find the Japanese side of the story really fascinating
I always love the Japanese culture, and to see it on American soil, that how they're interacting is very, very interesting.
Yeah. And you know, how they really cast the Yakuza, just like, you know, Al Capone and the gangs of Chicago.
Yeah.
It's real. If you've not seen Man in the High Castle, you
really
must.
Hey, Emily. What's up? You and Six watching together?
Who's Emily?
Emily Mayer. That's Six, Carolino's girlfriend.
All right.
You know who Six Carolino is.
I have no idea.
Yes, you do
know. But welcome, Emily.
He's a stunt director.
Okay. I've seen his stuff.
Yeah.
Even if I didn't know his name.
Gauntlet. All the Gauntlet shorts that have been shown. That's all his stuff.
All right. Well, anything else you guys want to throw out there, bring up tonight?
Hey, David, what's up?
Any more shout-outs that you want to make?
I'm just shouting them out as they come out.
I love it.
I love it. See, Dark Soul actually has friends who watch what he does.
Well, they want to watch and see how stupid I'm going to be, or if I'm going to end up in jail, probably.
It could happen. Night's young.
Yeah.
It's only 7:41. So, any other comments from our audience? You guys have anything you want to share? Anything you want to add? Anything you want to take issue with? Anything that we've said? You can always post a comment on the live feed, on the video feed later on, or send us your comments. Feedback at DieselPunkPodcast.
Noah, look at my bow tie.
.com. Oh, he's hard to control. I may have made a huge mistake.
Hey, Frank.
We're going to start secretly doing it on different nights.
You're going to make me cry. Yeah. You're going to hurt my feeling. I have one.
Just one?
One.
Feedback at DieselPunkPodcast.com. Send us your comments. And look, this is important. For us to do what we do, believe it or not, Facebook is free, but iTunes and Stitcher and our hosting services aren't free. And it takes money. And you know what? We would love to even upgrade our equipment to move to a better camera, to be able to do multi-location shots so that Larry Amiette and Daisy O'Dare and maybe Eric Fisk can join us virtually. And we have a hard time making audio technology work right now to bring them in. So you guys could help with that. Here's how you can help. If you're watching or listening on the Diesel Punk Podcast page, dieselpunkpodcast.com, there's a button right at the top that says donate. Click it. If you're not watching there, you can go to patreon.com/bigdaddycoolshows. And there's a button that says become a patron. Click it. We're looking for people to donate, to support us, to be our sponsors for $1 or $2 a month. That's all we ask. And if you will do that, that will help us do far more, not just with the broadcast, but even going to cons.
Ooh.
And going on location. Corey has some great resources for us to go do some on-location shoots with some classic cars. And there's a drive-in or a cruise-in coming up in Hermitage, right?
Yeah.
Is it the end of this month?
I'd have to look. I can't remember at the moment. There's so many cruise-ins that I get them all confused.
Yeah, so we'd love to go do some of that stuff and, take some cheddar. Yeah. So $1, $2 a month is all we ask. Surely this Motley Crue is worth at least $2.
Please.
I don't know what that this was.
That's Tarsha Gibson.
Tarsha. Hey, Tarsha. How you doing? Love you, baby. All right. Well, guys, that is it for this week. That's all we got. Thanks for joining us. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for giving us your time and attention. And until the next time, if you had a good time, tell 200-300 of your closest friends and family to come join
or
the fun.
More.
And
more.
Yeah, or more.
Or more, lots.
And until the next time, we'll catch you on the flip side.
See y'all later.
Later.